want to read you a little piece of a story, and actually I'll end up, we'll read the whole story, but I want to read the first part of this little story out of 1 Kings chapter 3 tonight. 1 Kings chapter 3. This is something that lodged in my heart about 2 weeks ago. You'll remember we was talking about being reasonable. Remember we was talking about being reasonable believers, being reasonable people, reasonable men, reasonable, you know, women, operating within that realm. And I run across this little thought, and it the Lord has just made it the most important, and he does this all the time, but he's made it, to me, the most important topic at the moment. And I mean that, all seriousness. I know I say this about every time I preach that this is the most important, but it is at the moment. Because it's God does that. God makes it the very most, this is the most important thing at the time. And right now, I feel that way. I feel like it is so essential. I feel like it's the answer to some people's dilemmas, problems, struggles, future issues. I really do. Powerful piece of scripture. Powerful story. Powerful thought in it. And this is talking about Solomon. This is when Solomon had came to the throne. David had died. And now Solomon is now king, and we'll just kind of pick the story up right here. And Solomon loved the Lord, and he was walking in the statutes of David his father, and only he sacrificed burnt offering incense in high places. Verse 4, and Solomon the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Listen, 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon the altar. I don't know if you ever read the Bible and just take on everything, but this is a lot. This was a lot of religion, a lot of effort towards God. Not just religion. I'm not talking about, but it's just a lot of effort towards God. I mean, you know, some of us don't even come to church 1,000 times in our lifetime. You know what I'm saying? I'm not throwing off, but I'm just showing you. This is powerful. He offered 1,000 offerings in this time frame. I'm like, man, that's all he did. It was like when they done all the offerings at the temple and all the 7,000 oxen and all this. I mean, it was a bloody mess. But Solomon was really a devoted in his early age to God. But in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream. By night. See, God was honoring him. God honored his devotion. You know, God honors your devotion. God honors your effort. He does. It's a powerful thing. I know we're not a works-based people, but God honors that. God respects that. You know, we don't say enough about it sometimes. God respects your work. He respects your efforts. He respects what you do for him. He respects your devotion, your love, your faithfulness, your time, your energy, your sacrifice. God respects that. He blesses that. He does. Now, it's not all works. It's got to be faith behind it, but that's why you're doing it. If it hadn't been faith behind it, God wouldn't have been pleased with it. But there was faith behind his works. It wasn't dead works. It was faith-based works. Amen? But he appeared to him, and God said, ask. Is this awesome? Wow. Ask. And I know we don't want to use the analogy like the genie in the lamp, but this, I mean, my mind, you know my mind, but well, no, you don't know my mind. And it's a good thing. It's a great thing. I'm glad none of you really do know my mind. Sometimes I'm really glad. But think about it. He says, just ask. Ask and I shall give it. What can you? I mean, you're talking about an open checkbook. Wow. That just blows my mind. If God, and I'm not sure I'd have handled it quite as good as Solomon. If God shows up to me in a dream tonight and said, "Just ask, and I'll give it to you." I'd be sweating probably. I'd be like, "Oh." How about y'all? Amen. So listen, here's where it goes. This is a great story. Verse 6. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept him, kept for him this great kindness that thou hast given him a son, talking about himself now, to sit on the throne as it is this day. Verse 7. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And listen, I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or even come in. I don't even know what's going on. I'm the king now, and I just don't even know. Boy, this is good. This is good. Are y'all feeling it? Verse 8. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people that thou hast chosen. You picked these people, God, and now I'm leading them. And they're a great people. And he's talking about the number. There cannot be number. Multitude, so many. A nation. Verse 9. So therefore, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. An understanding heart to judge thy people. Listen, that I may discern. Somebody say discern. That I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Verse 10. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Man, he's nailing it, ain't he? Yes, sir. He's nailing it with his devotion, and now he's nailing it with what his true heart is. He's nailing it, man. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and listen, not ask for thyself. See, wow. The things that I would have struggled with. Yep. Not ask for long life. Neither did you ask for riches. Neither have you asked for the life of your enemies. But you have asked thyself understanding to discern judgment. I want you, that little phrase right there, I'm gonna go ahead and tell you what that little phrase. That little phrase, to discern judgment is to have a heart that hears, a listening heart. Now hold on. Verse 12. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding. God said, I've given you this, all this now. You've got this hearing, this listening heart now. You've got that. So that there was none like thee before. I'm going to make you different. I want to tell you something tonight. If you just get a hold of discernment, you'll be different than anyone else. If you can get a hold of spiritual discernment, you'll be different. There'll be none like you. You'll be different than the world. You'll be different than anybody else, your neighbors. You'll be different. Oh, my Lord. So there's none like thee, none before, neither after thee shall rise any like unto thee. Verse 13. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked. I've given all to you, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all of thy days. Verse 14, 15. We'll finish it. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, keep my statutes, my commandments, as thy father David did, then I'll even lengthen thy days. I'll even lengthen thy days. And Solomon woke. What a good dream. And behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem, and he stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. How many know he's feeling grateful? Oh, good God. Hallelujah. And he offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the anointing. I feel it just reading it, dear God. And no doubt it's for a time. It's for a season such as this. It's for a people such as us. So, Lord, let us stand under that same anointing. Let us get nestled up under that anointing that flowed from you in Solomon's day. And Lord, let our prayer be that, Lord, that we may have a hearing heart. Lord, that we may be able to discern, that we may be like the sons of Issachar and have understanding and know what to do in times like these. Father, help us in this. I don't think there's anything more important in the hour that we live. I don't think there's anything any grander, anything any greater. Give unto us, your servants here tonight, a discerning heart that we can both see and understand and choose. Make the decisions that we must make even in the future. Help us in these things. All the glory will be yours, all the praise. And all the church said, amen. Come on, give him some more noise. Hey, give him some more noise. Bless his name. Hey, we bless the Lord. Glory to you. Amen. Amen. And amen. I want to give you this thought tonight about praying for discernment. Now, I'm just going to tell you, this is about a three-part deal. The first part of it tonight is praying for discernment. I've got challenges I want to look at, the challenges of discernment, and I've got some issues with discernment that I want to look at later, and maybe even a thing or two more. But I know at least two, three messages out of this. But tonight, I just want to concentrate on what this text was about. It was about a man praying for discernment, praying for a hearing heart. And you know, one of the main reasons in this text, or the main one of the things that really stands out, even why he was praying this way, was you could tell, you can see it, and we'll touch on some of it in just a minute and go back and reiterate some of it, but you can tell that he knew that in the future, the very near future, because of now where he was, his place had elevated, he had elevated, he was now in his daddy's stead. He was now, you know, he'd probably gotten used to watching daddy. He got used to daddy making these decisions, making choices. When there needed to be a decision made, or when there was a problem or an issue, you know, you know how you was. Some of you know how you was sometimes with your dad. You look to your dad like, well, okay, what are you going to do? Or that figure. And I'm sure he had did that. He'd watched that. And I'm sure he'd stood in the shadows all that time. He'd stood and watched how his daddy handled things. And probably like me, I've been amazed sometimes. I'm like, daggone. That's a good man. That was smart. Daggone. I can remember many times thinking, man, I would have never thought of that. I'd have never figured that out. You know what I'm talking about? There's this thing. My dad's like that. My dad, sometimes I'm like, I can't think of what to do. And he's still 70-something-year-old. He'll come up with a plan. And I'm like, daggone. Ain't that something? And of course, my kids think I do that because, you know, they think I'm awesome like that. And I'm like, daggone, I got y'all fooled because I'm just flying by the seat of my pants, and I ain't telling you. You know what I mean? But he feels the pressure. He feels the stress. And what he really sees, he knows there's critical decisions ahead. What do you think about that? There's critical decisions ahead. I could almost feel like just prophesying that. I'm not a prophet, but I discern that in my spirit. I discern that I could prophesy that and tell you there's critical decisions ahead. There is. That's the time we're living in. That's the age we're in. I believe I could say that as a blanket. Now, some of you, I know that's more intense. Some of you, I know that is more of a now word. But I want to tell you this. I believe the entire body could receive that and understand that there is critical, very critical decisions that lay ahead. And that's the whole reason for Solomon's prayer. Solomon knew he faced critical decisions. He knew all of a sudden, he knew he was the man. All of a sudden, the future was now, and he was standing there, and Solomon knew that the decisions that had to be made were above his pay grade. Anybody ever felt like that? I mean, you know there's coming, you know, and I feel that I can really relate to that. That when people or someone or a situation needs a decision and you feel like it's way up here. That's what he was feeling. He had that feeling that, man, this is all going to be, and like I said, probably is. He'd been watching his father. He realized that I'm no match for what's coming. No match. He probably some things was running through his mind that he had seen previously or thought of, or problems that maybe problems that had left a mark on him even as a young kid. And he think, how in the world would I? You ever thought of those things? You ever put yourself in positions when you was younger and think, how in the world would I handle? I still do that sometimes. I see folk go through some things right now nowadays, and I think, how in the world would I handle that? And the answer is, I don't have a clue. You know? And that's what he's feeling. I'm thinking, you know, if this all scenario, if I had this all, you know, in my life, and this was all, what would I do? I believe Solomon felt like that. I believe he felt the stress. I believe there was a lot of stress. I believe he felt the challenge. Does this season challenge anybody besides me? Are you feeling challenged? It don't seem like the answers are as clear cut or the decisions are so finely marked. It just seems so challenging. The issues they see so all of a sudden it seems like everything's gotten complicated. Things that used to be simple all of a sudden are complicated. I was talking to somebody here not long ago, and that's what the word they kept using. They had this situation in their life with this other person, and the word they kept saying, this is the word they kept saying, and I kept asking questions, and they'd say, it's complicated. And I'd say, well, what about, it's complicated. I'd say, well, can you, it's complicated. People in relationships like that, they'd say, it's complicated. You know, I understand that. And here's what I say. Here's what I know. I'm feeling that. I'm feeling that. I hear stories. I hear sides. I hear issues. I hear things. And I go, dang, that's complicated. I find myself agreeing. I'm all right. Man, you're right. That is complicated. That is. Chaotic. He was feeling so challenged, overwhelmed by numbers of things. You know, no doubt the wiles of the enemy were swirling, and no doubt he understood that, and demonic, diabolical forces that were at work, and he felt, think about all the motives that would come into play that he's going to have to make decisions on, and that you do as well, and there's so many impure motives. And you're trying to, it's complicated. It's just complicated. All of these things, the deception, even, think about it. If this ain't a critical time that we're faced with, the challenge in time, even the deception of our own hearts. you ever wade through sometimes to trying to make a decision And I like to wade through it all, and then I realize that there's some deception going on in me. I've got some impure motives. What am I doing this for? Why am I saying it like this? It's complicated. There's so much. No wonder he prayed. No wonder he had this prayer. And now, bring it to our era, our time. Bring it to where we're at right now. I feel it's probably one of the most important issues ever. We as a church seem like, and I'm going to bring this into the body now. We're going to leave Israel and come into the body. But think we as a church now, we're confronted by 1,000 new perspectives. Everybody's got a new look at things, a new idea or a new way. New perspective of how you should see this. There's trends. There's fads. All claiming to be better than the old way. All claiming to be more effective. It's complicated. There is 1,000 shades of gray now. It's complicated. Solomon was looking out just like I feel like I'm looking out, and I'm just saying, man, this is going to be, it's going to Some of y'all are. You're sitting there tonight with issues and circumstances and things that are total burdens. Somebody's got burdens, and they are. They're very complicated. You don't know the decisions. You don't know what decision. You feel this way one day, and you feel this way the next. You feel over here, and you feel over here. You hate this, and you hate that, but it's complicated. Am I preaching? And no wonder. This is why this got a hold to me so much. Solomon felt, he said, man, what I need right now, it's not riches. And he said, matter of fact, I don't even want a long life. I don't even want a long life right now. I don't want riches. It's not my enemies are not my problem. I need to be able to discern tomorrow's decisions. Good Lord. I need to know what I'm going to do. Hey!
Yes.
What I'm going to do tomorrow. What am I going to decide on this? Because ignoring it ain't going to work. Has anybody got that revelation yet? I know we ignore it as long as we can, but it don't work. That just ends in a train wreck somewhere. It ends in a big heap of smoking, smoldering rubble that leaves you saying, I wish I'd have did something. It's complicated, I know. That's why Solomon prayed. For what he prayed. He prayed for discernment. He prayed for the wisdom. A lot of people preach this about just that God gave Solomon the gift of wisdom. And to a degree that's true, but God gave him the gift of discernment. That's what he gave him. He gave him an understanding heart to know what to do. A heart that can hear. You know what he gave him? He gave him his heart.
Yes, sir.
It's about getting God's heart. That's what you need to realize. Next time you in these decisions that are so complicated, and I'm not going to say this is going to simplify or solve everything, but here's what you need to do. You need to get God's heart. God's heart on the decision. Serious. You need to boil it all down, work on it, struggle with it, labor over it till you can get to the place where you know this is what God would do.
Amen.
Solomon got a hearing heart. He got the heart of God. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. That's what he prayed for. He prayed for a listening and a hearing heart. And that's the very thing in verse 12 that we just seen that made him different. Behold, I have done according to the words that you have said. I've given you this understanding heart, and there shall be none like you now. You'll be different. You will be different. And see, that's going to be one of the issues that we'll bring up in a later message, because when you really got a discerning heart, it's going to bring problems. If you're going to act on a discerning heart, if you ask God for a hearing heart, you have to act. And that's going to create division. Because it's going to make you different. You're not going to be like the world. You're not going to be like everybody else. You're not going to be like the status quo or the flow. I know it's complicated, and it's going to bring division. That don't sound like no fun, Brother Lee. Oh, no, but it's got some sweet rewards. It's got sweet rewards. But it makes him different. It changes everything about him. Solomon told God, it's a cry of dependence. I'm dependent on you. These decisions are so over the top. There's so much more than I can understand. And then in the midst of that, God then values, can you see how God values this request and values and even discernment. He value if he values that we should want to know what he wants. To the point he blesses it. God blesses it. He blesses that. Because he values it. God thinks that is awesome. It wasn't that he wanted long life. It wasn't that he wanted riches. It wasn't that he wanted the enemies. Like, oh no, I want to hear with your heart, God. I want to hear with your heart. I want to hear what you hear, and I want to hear what you say. So really, in reality, God made him discerning, and that's really what made him wise. We talk about the wisdom of Solomon, but it was because God gave him a discernment. That's what made him so wise. That's what made him look wise. That's what made Queen Sheba and all them others come and go, daggone. They would come for thousands of miles to hear his wisdom. And it was because of his discernment. Because he knew what to do with the hard decisions. People that know what to do, man, they look so wise. It makes it look so like the wisdom, man. So it come to wisdom, it got to wisdom, but it was discernment. It was discernment. And the greatest example is the rest of this story. And then I'm going to take us to where we're going to close at. But the rest of the story, it picks up in verse 16. Verse 16 of 1 Kings. I want you to see the rest of this story because it's just amazing. Just as soon as God blesses him with this, then you know this story. This is an awesome story. Then came, right? Because right immediately, Solomon knew. Solomon knew that in the future, it's coming decisions that I, way over my top. Too much for me. And I need to know what to do, God. I need discernment. And look what, then came, there are two women that were harlots under the king. They come to the king. They stood before him, verse 17. The one woman said, oh, my Lord, and I and this woman, we live in the same house. We both have children. We both had children, delivered a child in the house, verse 18. And it came to pass the third day that after I was delivered, that this woman was delivered 3 days apart, and we were together there. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two, just us two in the house. And this woman's child died. Remember the story now?
Yeah.
This woman's child died in the night, and because she overlaid it, smothered it, I suppose. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while I slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose up in the morning, see, Solomon's got issues. This is complicated. This is complicated. Good Lord, this is complicated. It's complicated. When I rose in the morning to give the child up, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered, I mean, I checked this out. This ain't looking like Mama knows. Mama knows. Even cattle know. Cattle know. It's hard to fool a cat. You can fool them sometimes, but it's hard. You gotta really tinker with them. It's hard to put another calf on another cow. It's got to be a really special cow, because they know. They know. They like, get off of me. It's not for you. Get back. Kick a poor little, don't matter that it's a baby calf. Kick a fire out of that thing. Back up. Mama knows. Does mama know? All the mamas. Does mama know? Mama knows on it. Yeah. Yeah. So I considered this, and behold, it was not, this is not what I had. This is not my son. Verse 22. And the other woman said, no, but the living is my son. Complicated argument. The dead is your son. And this said, no, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. See, that's even complicated. See, it is. Thus they spoke before the king. Now watch. Then said the king, here comes discernment. This is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the others say, no, no, but thy son is dead, and my son is living. He's trying to sort through it. Any of y'all ever try to sort through stuff? Huh? Y'all ever do that? Try. Dump truck loads of stuff. Somebody say it's complicated. We need discernment. Verse 24. And the king said, bring me a sword. Now, those of you that've seen this movie, you've seen that coming. But some, if you've never seen this movie, you're like, what? 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 This is discernment right here, man. This is a discernment in action.
Yes, sir.
This is discernment acting. And the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought the sword to through the king. He has the authority to do whatever he wants to with the sword.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Verse 25. And the king said, what? Everybody take a deep gasp. Yeah. The king said, divide the living child.
Yes, sir.
If you don't know this story, you ain't never seen this story, you think, that ain't very smart. You're preaching on discernment. You want us to have this, preacher? He said, divide the living child in two. And listen, give half to the one. And then half to the other. How y'all feel about that? That's probably okay with an ice cream sandwich. Or a peanut butter sandwich. Or an apple. But I just don't think it's going to work right here, Solomon. How about y'all? Mama? Mama? Boy, this is wisdom. This is discernment at work. Then spoke the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned for her son. She said, oh, my Lord, oh, no, no, this can't happen. Give her. Give her the living child. And then do not slay it. But the other one said, you know, it don't matter to me. Just divide it. Whatever. Whatever. Whatever.
Right.
You see discernment coming?
Yes,
boy, it's easy to pick up here. Ain't it? All of a sudden, the decision. And then Solomon said, verse 27, the king answered and said, give her the living child and in no wise slay it. She is the mother.
Wow.
Yeah. Man. Verse 28. And all of Israel heard of the judgment or the discernment, the decision come down. All of Israel, and they feared the king, for they saw the wisdom of God. The heart of God was in him. The heart of God was in him. That's the heart of God right there. That's God at work. That's not man. That's not philosophy. That's not trickery or sleight of hand or deceitfulness of words. That's the heart of, that's God at his finest.
Amen.
Wisdom of God was in him to do discernment, to do judgment, to make decisions. I know. Well, my problem ain't like that, preacher. Well, I know, but you still need the heart of God to make decisions. Whatever yours is. Are you hearing me? You still need the heart of God to make decisions. The complicated ones. the critical ones, those that lie just ahead. You need his heart. Now, I just got one more scripture for you. It's in Philippians. Here's our New Testament prayer. I love to preach out of the old, but I love to back it and finish with the New Testament that solidifies what everything that I've said. Here is a New Testament prayer, Philippians 1 and 9 through 11. Listen to this. This is what Paul said. I'm going to read it through and then we'll touch on it. And this I pray, that your love, and that's agape, by the way. That's not Philly. That's agape. This is God love. What's supposed to be in you as the believer. Woo! God love. I pray that the God love may abound yet more and more. Also in knowledge. That's truth. That's truth. That's solid truth. There's the knowledge of God in all, and that judgment, that's discernment. In all decision making, in all discernment, I pray all these things. Listen, that you may be able to approve things that are excellent. That you may be sincere without offense. Are you tracking?
Yes, Lord.
Offense till the day of Christ. And then the last part, being filled then with fruits, a crop of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and the praise of God. Same prayer. Different setting, different kind of words, but still the same. It's still a prayer for a heart that can discern. It's still a prayer for the heart of God. It's still a prayer for getting the heart and having the heart of God. Tonight, I just want to tell you, that's what we need to do. We need to pray. You got decisions coming. That's our prayer. We need to pray for the heart of God. We need to pray to keep the heart of God. We need to pray for this hearing heart. I love this text because, go back to verse 9. Go back to verse 9 right quick. I want to stick this out here. This I pray that your love, there's this abounding. It's in every sense of it. In every sense of it, it's like this: you're capable of indefinite, inexhaustible increase. It's the word exceed. It's the same one that's in Ephesians where it talks about exceeding abundantly and above. It's about going so far over the top, abounding. It's room to grow. Room to know more. No cap. Ain't you glad there's no cap? I don't know it all. I'm glad because I don't know what to do with some things. There's room. There's more in God. There's more in God yet. We're still capable. They're still capable. There's two areas that we got to abound in. And that one, first one is the agape love of God. Do you think Solomon could have made that decision without the love of God in his heart? He could have been an old, ornery, hateful king, mean to the bone, mean spirit, no love of God, and he would have split that child or cut both of their heads off. And nothing. But he had a heart full of the agape love of God. I want to tell you something. The decisions that are coming, you need to abound in God's love. I'm telling you. You need to abound in God's love. If you're going to make the right decision, you got to have a heart full of God's love. Yes, sir. That's why you need to pray even tonight. You need to pray tomorrow. You need to start praying every night. Lord, give me a heart of agape love. Give me your love. Let my heart, let me abound. There's no limit. There's no limit. I don't care how. There's no limit. It'll help you make the decisions. The critical ones. The ones that's over your head. Do you see it? The ones that you'll mess up, the ones that you're, I'm going to tell you right now, I look back at a lot of my decisions that I have failed at, it's because I lack the love of God. when I've made a mockery or a fool of myself or made a mess of them or hurt people. It's because I was lacking the agape, the love of God. The other part is that even in knowledge or truth, see, that's the two sides of discernment that you got to have if you're going to make the decisions that are coming that are critical. You got to have truth. Oh, yeah, you got to have truth. But you can't have one above the other or one without the other. You got to have both. I mean, there's been many a time I have had the truth down. And I spit the truth out hateful and angry and mean. It wasn't God's heart. Without the agape. Somebody's telling me here the other day about a situation where someone's being ornery or mean towards someone because of who they are and how they're living or whatever. And it's not the agape love of God. Somebody's not discerning. Somebody's not discerning. Yeah, but you don't, you now us parents, all the parents come with me because just hang with me a minute. Us parents, we can get overboard on the love part and sometimes let truth slide. It's true. We can't do it. We'll never make just good decisions that are critical. It takes both. You can't be one-sided in every way. You know, you got to abound in both. That's our prayer tonight. We need for what's coming, for what's ahead, for what's up here. Can you see it? Some of you that maybe has got some things on your mind right now that there's just the things that's way up here above you. Man, you need to abound in the agape love of God and His knowledge. You just need to keep growing. You just need to keep studying. You need to keep reading. You just need to keep walking with Him. You just keep loving Him. You need to keep serving. You just need to keep being with Him. That's how you get the knowledge that this is talking about, is walking with Him throughout, in and out, every day, every circumstance, every situation. That's how you get to know somebody. I know Cindy now better than I ever have. You know why? We've lived together now 34 years. Almost said 35, but that'd make us a year ahead. And we didn't live together. Just telling you, Granny. Well, you know that. But it's how you get to know. I know, but you know what? There's no limit to that. I'm knowing things about her even at 34 years. Anybody with me? Amen. Even at 34 years, I'm knowing things that I didn't know. And I'm loving it. By the way. Amen. But it takes both. It takes both. You got to have both for what's coming. A hearing heart is both full of agape, love, and the truth of God. Let me say that again. I don't think that went in. A hearing heart, the God heart, discernment for the decisions that are coming will take the agape love of God and the truth of God. Both. You can't make a decision with just one or with, and we're living in a world that's making them without either one. People are making decisions without the agape or the truth. Have you watched the news? Have you watched the political scene? There is no agape. There is absolutely no truth. And people are mean and hateful, belligerent, diabolic, demonic. Amen. Amen. Well, what happens when you do all that? I'm glad you asked, and we're closing. Paul, come on. Verse 10, look what happens when you do all that. Well, then you're able to approve, or you're able to see, you're able to choose, you're able to apprehend the excellent things, the right things, the good things. You're able to say, you know what? You're able to say, that's it, that's it. Not just good, but what's best. Excellent. Not just between good and bad. Oh, no, no, no. Between good and what's best. That's discernment. This is what will be best for this decision. This is what will be the best. The excellent. You're able to approve. You're able to be sincere. Sincere, genuine, true. True. You're able to be true. True. I love this though. Without offense. Although people may say you offended me, and people might you might cause division, but it's still without offense. If you tell you have to tell someone the truth in agape love, the Bible says it's without offense. For you've probably cleaned the blood from your hands. I don't know. Y'all all right with this? I'm gonna finish. I'm gonna finish. It went longer than I aimed on it to. This microphone ain't working. This is not 10% shorter. I don't know if it's made me 50% better either. I'm not sure. Amen. But it'll do that. How long? Till the day of Christ. To the day you stand before Christ. That long. And then in the last part, and I'm finishing, verse 11, last part, and you'll be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Would anybody say that day that Solomon began to operate in that discernment, that was a fruit of righteousness, wasn't it? That was an act of righteousness. How many wants to operate in acts of righteousness? That's what he did. That was an act of righteousness. I just like to see everybody get along at Walmart. Acts of righteousness. And I'm not even talking about Black Friday. I'm talking about this regular old Tuesday. A crop of right. But here's the greatest thing. It's all for the praise and the glory of our God. In the end, it reflects back to him. It reflects, don't it? In the end, it's glory to him. In the end, it's praise to him.